You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking through another power and aggressive theme, which is death play. I know that sounds lovely, but when we're looking at power and aggressive themes, often in the playroom, we will have death as a part of that. And so it's important to understand what that looks like, why a child might be playing through death, and the different options, because there are a lot of directions that death play can take. So in an attempt to cover the most common play themes, here we are talking about death. So next week, I promise it'll be a little more happy. So when we're talking about death theme in the playroom, there is usually one or more character that is dying of natural causes or of aggressive causes. So, and I guess the disclaimer before we dive into this is there's going to be a lot of ifs and options and possibilities as I go through this, because death play and the theme of death in play can go in so many directions, and I don't know that I can capture all of them in one podcast episode, but I just want you to have an awareness of what it might look like, even if you don't fully understand it to its full depth, and then also some of the potential categories and reasons behind that kind of play. So, for example, if you see death play as one of the themes, it can be a character in the child's play dying of natural or aggressive causes. It can also be you or the child dying in the play. So first person versus third person is very different. So if we're talking about a character or an inanimate object, such as the stuffed bear, that can die, or a character can die, or the child can die, or you can die. I was going to say the child could kill you, but you don't always die because of the child. So sometimes you die in the play while the child is telling you what's going on. So you have to keep in mind there are all kinds of options of how you may see this unfold. So now that I've given you that disclaimer, there are quite a few different ways that death can be represented, and I want to cover the most common ones so that you kind of understand what that looks like. And I guess one further disclaimer, this is why death theme is so complicated, because there's so many layers. So sorry, I'm all over the place, but this really is going somewhere, I promise. So when you have death theme, you have to keep in mind that you have to rule out some other themes, or at least see them as combos, right? So you might have good versus bad leading to death. And therefore, you see distinct themes coming together, and I personally call them hybrids. So sometimes you will see two themes that kind of work together in play, and I call those hybrids. So you might have good versus bad, and then the bad guy gets killed by the good guy, and then it becomes death theme. You might have aggressive victim play that we talked about, or you might have general aggression that we talked about last week, that can then lead to death theme. So I want you to understand that they are distinct, but sometimes they flow together as part of that power and aggressive theme category or umbrella. So now that all of those disclaimers are out of the way, sometimes you will see anger as part of the death. So in a scenario like that, the child will use death to indicate anger, either their own or someone else's. So you can see death theme emerge, and if there's anger associated, that will be the root cause. You can identify the anger marker there. Okay, sometimes death is separation. And so what will often happen is the child will use someone or something dying to indicate real life separation between people. So parents get divorced and one parent moves to another state and the child never sees that parent anymore. they will play out the death of a character to represent the separation. And so while the father or the mother in real life is not necessarily dead, they represent that separation and that lack of communication by death in their play. So that's another option. Sometimes it's harmed death, where the child will play out death as part of like a harmful scenario. And that is usually associated with some of the other themes as well. So power and control and aggression and those types of things typically come out in that kind of harmed death. Safety death is another option. I don't think this is as common, but I wanted to bring it up because it does happen frequently enough. In a scenario with safety death theme, the death of the character is actually safety for the play. In other words, let me give it, try to think of an example. So if in the sand tray, the child buries a figure that had been a central figure and said, oh, it's dead. It's usually when there's some kind of catastrophic thing happening around them. So there's a war, there's a bad guy, there's a battle, there's a storm, there's some menacing figure that's coming in and trying to take over. There's usually some really horrific thing happening environmentally. And by burying and saying that that character died, it's actually safety. So this can flip, however. There's another way that this can manifest itself too. So sometimes the safety, the death is actually the safety for that character. And usually, if not always, that character comes back to life. The child will go, oh, they're not dead anymore. So it really was just an escape and it was kind of their safe hideaway for whatever was happening. And then when the menace or whatever was scary is gone, then they're back. Here's another option for the safety death though. Sometimes the child will kill the character that was actually the one that was scary or threatening. And so it saves everybody else by killing that character. So safety death can kind of be twofold. It can be a safe space to wait until the bad thing is over, or it can be get rid of the bad thing altogether so that everyone else is safe. So that's how safety death manifests itself. And then sometimes there is control death. And so in this scenario, when the character dies, it no longer has power. So the control and power theme can be involved, and therefore the character no longer has the power that they had or no longer has the control that they had. So that is definitely something that's noteworthy when they're trying to work out feeling inferior or that they don't have any power. And then devouring death is the final one that I want to talk about. And this is specifically about the way the character dies. So if a character is eaten or swallowed or consumed in some way, that is the devouring death. And you'll usually see this with dinosaurs, with large animals, predatory animals like lions, tigers, sharks, things like that. And often with puppets as well, because they can use puppets and come up and actually like bite your arm or bite your neck and say that they're eating you. And if it leads to death, that becomes devouring death. So I wanted to give you kind of the rundown of how death play can evolve and what those things can look like. Keep in mind too, if a child has experienced death in their family, with a friend, if they have gone through the loss of someone that they are close to, they will sometimes play out death in none of these ways just because they're actually playing out the death of a loved one. So sometimes it's as simple truly as just they're processing an actual death by playing out death. I was a part of hospice in my area of Florida. It was called Suncoast Hospice at the time. And I was in the child and family services department, and we provided support and groups and work with children who either had experienced the death of a loved one or they had someone with a terminal illness and they were actively processing anticipatorily the death of a loved one. And so much of what I learned about the way that children grieve and the way they process death influences my understanding in the playroom when something like that happens, because sometimes kids dealing with death just have to play out death. And sometimes there's no other explanation for what's going on other than this is what their reality is. And so therefore they make sense of their world through their play. But those other examples that I gave, the anger, the separation, the harmed, the safety, the control, and the devouring, those are specific types of death play within the category of the death theme. So I know that was a lot, and I said there were so many layers to death play. So I want you to understand that this is one of the most multi-layered, multifaceted themes that we will talk about. But really, the takeaway, what I want you to walk away with, don't try to say those at the same time, what the goal of this episode is to help you understand that death play is very normal, and you will see it pretty consistently. And it is just the manifestation of where the child is emotionally. So if they're angry, they're going to play out angry death. If they're dealing with separation, they're going to play out separation death. If they feel overwhelmed and there's some kind of harm that they need to play out, they will play out that kind of death. So it's very representative of what the child is processing and a very normal part of that power and aggressive theme. Now, my only caveat to saying that is this is another one of those themes where when you're going to share with parents, we have to be very careful what we share, how much we share, and what impression we give off to them, because parents don't usually support or understand this kind of play. And so it can be very challenging for parents to be accepting if you go into a lot of detail. So rather than saying, and they're playing out death play, and this means this, and this is how the characters are dying, and all of these things, not only is that inappropriate because it's a violation of confidentiality with what happens in the playroom, but it's also too much for the parent to handle. So in a scenario with death play, you would say something like, and the child is constantly processing the life and death of the characters so that they understand a balance of good and bad and power and control and what should and shouldn't happen. Something along those lines. You very neutrally generalize and normalize that kind of play and show that the child has to play through the opposites of life. And you say it in that term, and parents don't feel scared or overwhelmed or nervous or concerned or any of those things. So that is another one of the power and aggressive themes. Death theme, you will see that. And I hope that that helps you recognize it, understand it a little bit better, and then also articulate it to parents and caregivers in those consultations. So next week, we will continue with more power and aggressive themes. We have three more in this category. And then moving forward, we will be into the family and nurturing themes, which is an about face from where we've been. So that'll be a little bit more positive and encouraging. And of course, later in the week, we will have the listener question that we'll be talking about as well. So as always, I'm grateful for each and every one of you. Thanks for being a part of the Play Therapy podcast family. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.